I'm Steve McLeod, and you are listening to The Community Lounge, the podcast where community managers from the video games industry tell their story, talk about the challenges they face, and share tips to help other community managers do their job better.
Today, I'm joined by Nora Mattson. Last week, I asked on LinkedIn for first-time community managers to get in touch because I wanted to create a couple of episodes where I interview them. Nora was one of the people who jumped at the opportunity. Indeed, she is a first-time community manager, but as I learned, she is also wearing many hats at Studio Downstairs in Sweden, where, yes, she is the community manager, but she's also a 2D artist and even CEO. Welcome to the show, Nora.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve, so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about Studio Downstairs. Let's start there.
Oh, yeah. We're, as mentioned, a studio in Sweden with hybrid remotes. We're four founders. All juniors in our own way. So we are working right now on a asymmetric co-op horror game where you play as robbers. We have one hacker and one hacker, one robber, and you're trying to find a specific item. It's like a keep talking, nobody explodes, amnesia kind of game.
Cool.
That's what we're doing.
And when are you hoping to release that?
We are hoping for this summer.
Not sure if I can ask this, but what about funding? When you're a team of four juniors making your own studio, how do you get funding for such a thing?
That's, of course, the million-dollar question, right?
or the $100,000 yeah. question, depending on your needs.
Oh, yeah. We are having some kind of, setup right now where we have some people like full projects onboarding because we have school funds supporting them. And then we have me and another person working part time. So it's a give and take, but we're managed. But the good thing about like our project and like how so Studio Downstairs is part of this community, right, where you get support from with the business side of the game. So we come up with the idea and game, and they help out with the business. The Science Park.
Science Park, that's in Hofda in Sweden.
Which exactly.
I learned about in season one when I talked to Eleanor, as well as Jeremy Felding also mentioned it a bit. So it's yeah. amazing. It's amazing how this little city in Sweden is so influential in the games industry.
Yeah, it's very awesome to see like the some of the big names coming from here, like Valheim and the Goat Simulator and etc. But yeah, so with like their help, we are able to also like build verification for a project to help us get funding, right?
Okay.
So we were in a pitch competition where we won 100,000 crowns. That's like 10,000 euros.
Oh, that must have been a help.
Yeah, it's very... That was our big like breakthrough in like funding wise to help us with like hardware and trips and like just the morale boost. Yeah.
It's money. Sure, everybody likes money, but it's also like a confirmation that people believe in what you're doing, that there is a path forward.
Yeah.
Hey, so this podcast is supposed to be about community management. So I want to concentrate on one of your multiple roles, that is a community manager. So what does it involve being a community manager in such a small new studio? What do you do from day to day as in the community management part of your role?
Exactly. No, it's with like a small team and also being new to like that kind of role and like everything with the setup, it's a lot of trying to fit like your schedule with like the posts and like the engaging the community. So our game, which also was a part of like the verification phase, is that it's a horror game and streamers are big on horror games, right? So we dropped a prototype on itch, which got a lot of traction, which we then used as a part of the pitch that we could get the monies from. But so in my day to day, I try to reach out to like these communities of streamers and like to try to find like this a game for you maybe, and like that kind of approach.
Do you already have a community of like test players or beta players or people interested because of a demo?
Yeah. So with each prototype we had people, we have like had contacts, continued contact with them, like during the development now a year later, and they've always been like that supportive. So it's much, yes, we're trying to gather them at our Discord, of course, and like that kind of engagement.
I just have to interrupt for people who are watching this video, because this is also on video as well as an audio podcast. I just watched a black cat walk behind you. You know, it's bad luck in some cultures for a black cat to cross your path. But then another cat of lighter color followed it. It was really funny to see that happen.
You might see them fight behind me. We'll see.
So tell me about your path into community management. What have you done before Studio Downstairs in the realm of community management?
What got you there?
So Skövde being a game city, I moved here to study arts in games, and that's also part of my passion in games. But with the how the industry looks, etc., me and some friends then like, okay, let's do our own thing, and like with that comes more roles. So I also applied for a education here,
a scholarship or
a education in like digital games and community management. So with that I like learned the tools. Like the community management wasn't something I always thought I would do. Like I'm kind of more a lurker online. I don't like really engage in like the discussions. If you don't have anything nice to say, I don't say it, and that kind of like approach. And also like being, I don't know, a girl online can also cause some like traction, of course. So I've always like kept myself back a bit. But with like this education I received, like giving me tools and like a more understanding, like marketing and community management, it's a whole different field. Like it's an own like business side of like everything and how the world revolves around marketing, etc. So it really opened an eye for me to like how you can find players and engage in that. So like that was kind of how I grew into it. And like during this education, was it also during the same time our game blew up in that sense?
Oh, you were working on the game while you were still studying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I really like what you said, that you lurked. If you didn't have anything positive to say, you didn't say anything at all. I really wish more people would do that in the gaming world.
Really. I always try to think like my grandma watching over me.
Oh boy, that's what we should write in the top of all forums and so on. Write as if your grandmother was watching over your shoulder.
And of course they could also, I mean, a good grandma in that sense.
A good grandmother, yeah. Yeah. The thing about how females are treated way different online than males, it reminded me of back in the World of Warcraft day. I don't know if you were around when that was a thing.
I've been around, but I've not been in the Warcraft area, no.
So I created a world, when I first got into World of Warcraft, I created a character, an avatar, yeah, that was all like male, muscly and strong and a bit scary looking. And the other players left me alone. And then as an experiment, I created another avatar. And this one was very feminine looking. And like immediately people came and started interacting with me. And I was shocked because normally I would always just create a male character. And to play as a female, to see the way people just didn't leave me alone. It was an eye opener for this white male here to see that.
That's only a part of like the minority within the gaming community. There's a lot of other layers to explore as well. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think even the name you pick to use on where people can't even see you, but the name you pick in a community on Reddit or Discord or something, I think even that is a factor in how people respond to you.
I don't want to derail more on this, but I have a friend. Yeah, but I have a coworker, like a colleague. His online name is like Swamp Mom.
Okay.
But like in Swedish. But so if we meet Swedish other Swedish people online, they always go at him first. Like they always like type something like trying to anger. So yeah, and like me, I have kind of an anonymous name in that sense. So
like without gender.
Yeah, Lil Deep. It's so calm, it's cool.
So to male listeners, here's a challenge: next time you create an account on some forum or community, try making the name something that sounds very feminine and see the reaction you get. I think if you haven't done it before, it's an eye opener. Do you want to tell me about a story of a memorable positive moment as a community manager?
So our development has been in different kind of phases. So I mentioned this itch prototype that we released. We got some big streamers to record it. When people saw like this the itch game, they recorded it, and like other people saw it as well, and like that kind of got the ball moving, right?
Did you design the game or create the game with the idea of making it good to watch or good for streaming?
We did have that kind of approach with the horror-esque and releasing it on itch. Also like a part of the difficulty within like the social media and the community management, like how do we reach out to people? Mm. How would they respond? Don't they get these kind of emails every day? How can we stand out in an ocean of other horror games?
And how can you stand out? Tell me the tricks, because it's a good problem. It's a real problem that everybody understands trying to get somewhere with a creative endeavor. How do you make people actually notice what you're doing in the ocean of noise? So what did you do? How did you get these people to actually notice you on itch and then to share the videos?
So us being a small studio, we know like our limits, we're learning them as we go, at least. We also know that others, as well as other small streamers, they also have like their... So that's just like our approach to meet like in the middle. We don't need to go for like the big names. If we can just like reach some, like to, because that was also like a reaction we got when we reached out to small streamers or YouTubers, content creators, I should say. You could see like the reaction in how they felt the honor to have a game developer reach out to them. I think game developers have this rock star feeling to it sometimes. So if you can find, it's really about finding the right smaller, like their streamers that they're.
Okay, I like that. So instead of aiming for the well-known names who get pitched 10 times a day, you're aiming for people with a smaller audience or newer to what they're doing, and then taking advantage of the fact that you are a game developer, and really using that to flatter them. Not flatter, that sounds a little bit superficial, but yeah.
Yeah, and also when I say small, I don't like wanna, like we're also small in a sense, but it's more like just find like-minded streamers and try to get them to find a collaboration with you.
Yeah, great. Moving on. Do you have a story of a challenge you've faced as a community manager that stands out in your memory, apart from being treated differently because you're a female as opposed to how males are taught? I think we covered that.
So being new to the gaming, like the game dev, the junior aspect of it all, I find it difficult to know or like to plan what's ahead. I can plan like, okay, we should do this to get this much engagement, but what do we do with this engagement and have like that kind of strategy?
So you're kind of feeling like you're wandering alone, unguided.
Exactly. Difficult to ball plank sometimes, and having like the other teammates also having their tasks and like developing the game, while I manage more like the administration, like the community. I can't always like delegate the tasks, even if you should ask for help, etc. As I say, one of the biggest challenges, like, also to know what's a priority, and like when you find the engagement, what to do with it to like prioritize to your time. You can't do it all.
So given that situation, that you're a first time timer at what you're doing, and you kind of feel like you need guidance, what do you do to try and get help? Do you go outside of your own studio?
Yeah. Like being, having other community managers, like they manage their community and I manage mine, and we should manage each other. No, but we should like to find some kind of ballpark, like listen to this kind of podcast. I think it's a great way to learn and take notes, but it's also to find a good approach. Like I've listened to like to this podcast and like the GDC Vault and other YouTube gamers toolkits, etc. They have great tips, but it's also like about how to apply that to you. Like even if I listen to this is good if you're gonna do a Reddit post, blah 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 blah. But if you I don't feel like we're, I don't know if my audience is there, or to find the prioritize and like the highest impact.
It's hard. I like it. People don't realize that running a game studio is in effect running a small business, and running business is hard. Like if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Hey, this is a short interruption. When I'm not hosting the Community Lounge, I run Feature Upvote, a platform for managing player feedback. When you use Feature Upvote, your players can submit and upvote suggestions to improve your game in a single place. This gives you the data you need to develop a game that meets player expectations. And you can say goodbye to the confusion of trying to keep up with feedback scattered across discussions on Discord and Steam and Reddit. Learn more at featureupvote.com. And what else do you do? I said, is there anybody you have mentoring you? Are there like real life or online communities that you're a part of?
I think online communities, like just to like to find other game devs is a great way to like those, like there's this Chris Zukowski, say, man in within marketing, and like he has a Discord server with many others game developers have like the same questions as you, to just like to brief that and like ask questions there. People are very friendly, and others I am friends with a previous guest of yours, like Eleanor, so she's also, and she's has years on her neck, and like we have this kind of small community manager gatherings. Sometimes we just like ball plank and like can ask questions if needed, but that's not normal, I would say. I don't know.
It's not normal for you, or it's not normal in general.
It's not to take for granted. I have that, and if you have that, that's great. But it's not something you can just ask your local community manager.
Why not? Why not? Tell me why one can't do that.
Yeah, of course they can, but if they don't know them, it's different in different cities and where people are. But the online communities, I think, would work great at that approach.
I think you're very lucky living where you do, you know, this small city with a great gaming industry. Here in Barcelona, where I live, there's a monthly meetup, Barcelona Game Creators or something like that. Yeah. About 50 people turn up every time. I like to go along just to get my pulse on what's happening. And I don't know if these things exist in cities across the world. I think they must exist wherever there's a significant gaming industry.
Maybe they do, yeah.
Yeah, but if you live in some small town without a gaming industry, then it must be hard. But this one in Barcelona is fantastic. Like, I really enjoy going each week or each month, two or three people stand up and talk for 10 minutes about something they're doing or some aspect of And then afterwards we go for drinks. Hey, there's another cat just turned into the shot. So this is why I question you about, is it normal? Here in Barcelona, it seems normal, but we're a big city with a big gaming industry. But if I say, if anybody can find those things, if you can find real life people to meet up with just to talk about what you're doing, yeah. I think they're fantastic. What tips do you have for first-time community managers, given that you are a first-time community manager?
Exactly, exactly. It's the most difficult thing I've tried to face is that, like, to face that I am a community manager and that kind of that imposter syndrome, etc. And to accept that it's okay to not also like reinvent the wheel and like do everything on your own in that sense, to find, like, to do your research within your field or like your game and watch what others game, like you have probably game inspirations for your game, right? So then you can see their social media, like do that inventory stuff to do like, okay, did they do these kind of posts? Maybe we can do this. That's a good approach, I would say. But this also, it takes time, of course. So be patient with yourself. Like, you don't have to do everything at once. Like, I think I know what I need to do, like, to make everything successful, but I will not be able to. So I would have to prioritize and, like, think smart.
I like that. Be patient with yourself and observe what other people are doing similarly.
Yeah.
So is there a particular company or studio that you found particularly good for observing what they do that you find inspiring?
Inspiration-wise?
And you can't say Deep Rock Galactic because everybody says Deep Rock Galactic.
I haven't actually checked them out, but they're probably good. I did more in the beginning, like with the how, like, I have to think about this. So what other companies, like, is a good inspiration, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Victoria Tran is a very good, person, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But a commitment, like, they're with her, both Among Us and, like, what's the other one? Unpacking.
So here's a little, what would you call it, a breaking news or spoiler. So the very last episode of this season of this podcast is me interviewing Victoria Tran. We've already done the interview, but because she's got a book coming out in July, I wanted to make it the very last episode so it's close to her book coming out so that, you know, when we talk about her book, yeah, she was...
I pre-ordered it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I haven't, but I am going to buy when it's available. Wow, you've pre-ordered it. I should be happy to hear that. She told me she's been working on it for a couple of years, but that's all for another episode. Yeah, so Victoria Tran's newsletter, her book that will come out soon, yeah, and her work on Among Us.
Yeah, even if the game inspiration maybe don't apply to your game, you can still see, like, what kind of work they do. I think it's important to not always, like, to analyze what takes time for you to make within, like, your job. So, like, for me, it could be like the motion graphics, like, so to make GIFs or like edit videos. Okay, that takes time for me. What can I do to, like, efficientize that?
Right.
Rework, like, reuse, or also a difficult part is like to when you get bored of your own content, that's when, like, the content starts to stick with your audience.
Okay.
That's what people say, and uh-huh. I think that's true because, like, TikTok or the TikTok audience, at least, or that kind of algorithm mostly reaches out to new people more than, like, your followers.
Gotcha.
So every time you post something, it's probably totally fresh for, like, a majority of the people. So repeat yourself. And that's difficult for me to get in here, to get in our brain.
You know, I had to learn that lesson myself. We've now got to the point for every episode of this podcast, we're promoting it at least 6 times. And I feel like when people think I'm just saying the same thing over and over, and someone gave me the same advice, it's like, actually, most people don't see what you post. And when you post for the second time, typically it's different people. And if you're lucky, you actually cover a good chunk of your audience after multiple posts. I really have that problem too. So we're the same there. And yet you do it anyway. I like the way you described it. What was it when you're bored?
When you start to get tired of it, your audience that starts to get it.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I like that. Hopefully. And look, it's working for us. I'm finding that over and over promoting stuff. I'm not really a self-promoter. I really have to get over this to do it. But it works. It really does work. So you mentioned TikTok. Has TikTok been working for you as a way of promoting what you're doing and reaching out to people and building a community?
With it taking time, it's been not as much as we wanted to, like, being active. But we have noticed, like, those posts who do well, we get a lot of, like, wish lists from. And I don't know if I said our game's title.
No, you didn't yet.
So Find or Be Found is our game.
Find or Be Found.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that sounds scary. Well, we'll definitely have a link to it also in the show notes, and so people will see that and maybe can wish list it if they're into. Tell me again the genre. Horror.
Asymmetric co-op horror.
Asymmetric co-op horror. The gaming industry has so many, like, subgenres terms. Upon subgenres.
Keywords, tags, yeah.
Exactly. If someone's listening to this and their dream is to become a community manager, what tips do you have for them? Like, for how they can become a community manager, tips for becoming a community manager?
There are so many different paths, I've noticed. For me, it's been a, like, growing into the role, kind of. I didn't know this was a thing at first, but now I do, and it's opened my eyes with, like, my education, as mentioned. But in the end, it's a people's game, right? You work with people. You try to engage with them, so you must understand them in some kind of way. You must have that kind of, not niche eye, but understand that what they write. Like, be nice, be clear. Like, how can you interact with this? Like, that kind of, like, psychology background. I think it's a cool, like, good, like, to understand people.
So accept that it's a people role, which is important to recognize, because if you're not somebody who enjoys working directly with people you don't know all day, then maybe community management's the wrong role, right?
Maybe. You have to like to work with people, right? But maybe you have so much passion for the game that it's more about, like, how you tell stories and etc. That also, I think.
Great answer. Final question, and this is the most important question I'm going to ask you. What game or games have you been playing lately?
It's been a tough winter, tough autumn. But I have been gaming mostly Overwatch.
Overwatch? 2. Okay.
I think I burned myself out on it this autumn, because there was a, I had to grind for a specific role, right? And I played so much, and then I played nothing, and now I'm back in it. Now it's, I don't want to say I played too much, because I think I need to play to, like, distance myself from, like, working. And I'm much of a more of a play with friends kind of gamer, more than a single player gamer. But I want to get in more to, like, single player games as well. So I've been trying to also go through like Psychonauts, the first one, because I want to play the second one.
Tell me what it is you like about Overwatch.
I like it very much because of the characters, I think. Also the intensity of it. I think it's fun to play with friends. It's fun. Of course, it has like this, you know, we talked before, like with the online chat, but I've gained so much more confidence with it. I think
because you're able to chat while you play.
Yeah. And I'm not as afraid to speak out as I was when I was before. I think I have a lot to thank from Overwatch or previous games.
And you tend to be speaking in English or in Swedish when you're playing Overwatch?
English. Meeting Swedish players online, I don't know, they weird. English-speaking people are much nicer.
I think the role of video games in encouraging and promoting the use of English is really underrated. People don't realize just how much video games are helping non-native English speakers get a chance to practice and use English, really. Here in Spain, I see the kids around me who they watch YouTube videos and streamers in English. Like, this is part of the thing they enjoy about it, is it's a chance to practice their English. They sometimes learn the wrong English words, I have to say. But
well, that's you live and you learn.
Do you find anything about Overwatch or Psychonauts that you learn from how they do community? Is there anything you see what they're doing that you can then apply to your own job?
I really like how Overwatch are collaborating with their streamers. I think that's kind of interesting and inspiring, in a sense that they invite them for special events or now it's in the inspiration, right?
Yeah.
So special events or you can give special content for the stream or partner up. I think that's also a very good gateway to reach out to people, to have them the graphics ready at start. So give them maybe a special banner for their stream or this is a Find Never Found collab, or to give them the exclusivity. I think that's a very interesting.
Nice. On that note, we need to finish up because we have run out of time. That's all we have time for today. So thanks again, Nora, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Steve, for having me.
And where can people get in touch or find out more about you or the studio downstairs or find or be found?
The game is on Steam and I am on LinkedIn as Nora Matson.
And we'll have that in the show notes. Okay, thank you. Bye, Nora.
Thank you so much. Bye, Steve.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of The Community Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode, please spread the word and share it with friends and colleagues who you think would also enjoy it. You can find all the episodes on your favorite podcasting platform or at featureupvote.com/thecommunitylounge.